That Great Business Show. Winner, highly commended award, Irish Podcast Awards.
Welcome to episode 185 of That Great Business Show, home of great business tips, insights, and opportunities on every episode, delivered in our commute-friendly package or on board Aer Lingus Long Haul, where we are their podcast partners. Unlock the full potential of your business with Mentors Work, Ireland's award-winning, fully government-funded mentoring program designed to fuel the growth of your business, no matter the sector or size. Mentors Work will help transform your business by providing tailored guidance through one-on-one mentoring sessions, upskilling workshops, as well as networking opportunities. Together with your mentor, you'll also craft a customized six-month business plan to propel your business forward. Try it and test it, and already empowering over 3,000 Irish businesses, register for free today on mentorswork.ie. I'm Conal O'Mora in Fáilte Isteach. On this episode, the popular idiom says there's one born every minute. That's factually wrong, because there are 259 babies born worldwide every minute, making baby products big business. We may have a world winner with us. And speaking of counting correctly, we have a man who hated maths in school, but whose business is teaching the world how to count.
De Facto, the revolutionary shaving oil, changing the face of shaving. For the smoothest shave of your life, just add water. No more lathering up or cleaning up afterward. Just add a few drops of water and you're ready to go. De Facto's blend of all natural oils hydrates and protects your skin. No more razor burns or irritation. A spa treatment for your face. Perfect for all skin types and lasts so much longer than traditional foams or gels. De Facto, a shaving revolution. Just add water. Available from selected pharmacies and from defactoshave.com.
Now, we love overnight success business stories, though in reality, they're just not true. And that's why we really love 7 years in the making business stories, because they are real. Getting your fledgling business ready to fly can take time. And if, like me, you're a business watcher, you may have come across medtech company Cariflow over the years. The breastfeeding monitoring company began life back in 2017 and has since then collected over 6 million euro, the most recent from some well-known investors. And they've also brought former Health Minister Mary Harney onto their board. And so it looks like it's all go at Cariflow. Roseanne Longmore is the co-founder and CEO at Cariflow, and she joins me now on That Great Business Show. It's been a while trying to get you here, Roseanne.
Thanks, Conal. Thanks for the generous introduction. It's lovely to be here.
Because 7 years, 7 long years. There's a little bit of a backstory. What did you do before you started trying to invent a medtech product?
Well, my background was in finance. I worked for a big financial institution here in Dublin, Davy. And they've been great supporters of mine over the years. But yeah, I mean, the opportunity to develop this, to start the company and to develop the product was very organic. My two co-founders are Jamie and Helen. Jamie is an electronics engineer and Helen is a medical doctor. And it was because of their own breastfeeding journey where their first baby was very tiny, full term. And the public health nurse was coming out and weighing the baby. Helen would breastfeed the baby and re-weigh the baby. And they looked themselves to the market for a breast milk monitor that could tell them exactly how much milk their baby was getting. And they were stunned that none existed. So Jamie was working in the area of microflow sensing in another industry. And he started to examine the patent art around why this product didn't exist and what was the solution. And that's how we came up with the idea. But yeah, in fact, we've been together since day one, but it all happened very naturally.
And the amount of work that has gone into it is quite stupendous, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, I guess that kind of, we had spoken earlier about this being a hardware product, and that is very unusual. It was definitely unusual in 2017 when we started the company. I remember we were raising our seed round and, you know, it was just doors being shut everywhere because, you know, hardware is hard and it's capital intensive and it takes a long time to get to market, especially when it's something as you know, you're putting something into a baby's mouth. You really can't get more challenging than that type of a hardware product. So at the time, if you weren't using terms like crypto or blockchain or B2B SaaS, investors just weren't, or, you know, the bigger investors, they just weren't, it didn't sound as interesting to them. And again, it was just too long a journey. Everyone knows it's a 10-year, really, it's a 10-year route to market for this type of product. So luckily, we had the ambition of some very, very incredible private angels right back in our first 6 weeks who kind of said, yeah, we value the patent. We had 2 years work done before incorporating the company in terms of filing the patent, that being granted. Helen examining the size of the academic and medical market. And so we had done 2 years of sweat equity before we went out to investors. And then it was just we met some of the right people who were willing to bridge that gap and take that very, very high risk, opportunity.
I'm sure you won't thank me for saying this, but I just had a thought. The one area which is does get funding in Ireland in the tech product area, ag tech. You could have gone in under ag tech.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of farmers, I don't need to explain this product to them. They have been measuring milk flow, you know, for years, and there's, you know, they understand it straight away. So yeah, there are different cohorts of investors that there is no explanation required.
But to get me all excited now, is this a world first?
Yes, it is. It's a world first. So if you can imagine, to estimate breast milk volume transfer, they're still using weighing scales. So
it's kind of quaint, isn't it?
Yeah. And like, you know, you're weighing a moving object. So obviously at home, for women at home, weighing scales, it's not recommended because, you know, you're weighing a moving object, and these weighing scales in the domestic environment, they're just not high precision. They have some accuracy in the clinical setting where it's a highly protocolized procedure and there's a medical professional team swaddling the baby. They're high precision, they're motion compensated. But really, for the size of the problem that we're tackling, we want something that the mother at home can use and that can be, that is considered accurate. And as of August, we've received that technical validation, and those results have been presented at international medical conferences and are due to be published shortly.
And what you haven't told me, or haven't told the listeners, is what is the problem that you're solving?
Okay, so to give you some context, the World Health Organization recommends that mothers exclusively breastfeed to 6 months. And this is because of the enormous health benefits of breastfeeding to babies, mothers and society. And unfortunately, the breastfeeding rates, on average, only 13% of women reach...
A tiny number, if you like.
Tiny number of women actually reach that minimum target of 6 months. It's about 23% in the US, about 26% in China. And when you ask mothers, like, these women have initiated breastfeeding, they've shown intent that they want to try it, the initiation rates are relatively high. But it's at that drop-off. Why is the drop-off so significant? And there's a number of reasons women stop breastfeeding, but globally, the main reason is concern regarding low supply. In other words, not knowing if their baby's getting any or enough milk. So a mother becomes anxious and uncertain, and then she switches or moves to formula entirely. So if you can imagine, for a mother who's bottle feeding her baby, she can see exactly how much breast milk or how much milk her baby's getting. And that's hugely reassuring. But that reassurance simply doesn't exist for breastfeeding mothers.
And what you have invented, because it is an invention, is a little monitor that you can open it up there, because we are going to show this on YouTube, I think, for the first time. We're going to go live. So that is it. Rosanna's holding that up. That the piece of plastic or rubber is well known.
Yes. So these silicone nipple shields, if you look at this as a passive shield, they're available in every pharmacy for about 10 or 15 euros. They're currently used for skin protection. Also for women who have issues with oversupply or inverted nipples. So their accessibility and tolerability is extremely high. In fact, 98% of medical professionals recommend their use for those existing indications. So there has been a technology race to fit a microflow sensor in here. And that has been the known form of the solution. Like, we didn't come up with this idea. A lot of companies have been trying to get to that end. But yes, essentially, the shield is the optimum solution because it is close to skin-to-skin contact as you can get, and the minimum barrier between mother and baby.
And what did you do, or how did you do what others couldn't do, which is to find your winning ways?
Yeah, well, I guess it was that for us, it was the right technology at the right team at the right time. It was the sheer miniaturization of technology that can fit into something as thin as a contact lens. So even the original technology we used in 2017, 2019, that has changed to what the product we are now going into production with. So yeah, it's really been the miniaturization of technology. So the mother wears this like a regular shield. And as she's feeding her baby, all of the data comes up on her phone in real time. So in the app, she can see exactly how much milk her baby's getting.
Because as you say, this is Gen Z probably having babies now. And what they want to see is data.
Yeah, look, we always say like we're a data company. We want, Cora will tell a mother, yes, your supply is adequate, keep going. Or no, there's an issue here and you need to seek assistance. So we really see ourselves sitting into that gap as an information company and giving women accurate, precise data so they can then go and make the best decision on how they want to feed their baby.
And so the model is, as I understand it, you're going to sell directly to consumer. When does this all happen?
So we're just building, as of the results of our clinical trial in August, we have now started building production. So we closed a recent fundraising round. So that's all in train. And obviously that production pathway is very, very different with hardware. That scale up just takes time because obviously there's quality and reliability, and that scale up is going to take some time. So we will launch into the Irish market, it's looking like September, and we will sell through our trusted pharmacy chains, McCabe's and Macaulay's, and also direct to consumer online. And then we'll go into the US market early 2025, where we're really looking at just a direct to consumer model. What we have found over the years is that as the younger mothers come up, they are more likely to buy online than like potentially where previously mothers wanted both retail and online.
And a young mother can fix it all, work it all out herself. Intuitive, is it?
Yes, it's very, the shield is just worn like a regular shield. So you see there's no cables, no attachments.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah, and then it's just, it's washed in warm soapy water and left to air dry. There's no sterilization required. And then it's simply put back in its case once it's air dried to charge. So you can see that it's very neat and you can charge it on your phone.
And then you look at your phone to see how much food the baby's got.
Yeah, and you can link in with your midwife, your lactation consultant, your GP, and you can make the decision then. So if a mother is suffering from that anxiety and, you know, lack of confidence, is it working? Is her baby getting enough milk? She can link in with her medical professional and show the data to them, and they can accurately see, you know, keep going or there if there's an issue or not. So I don't know if your cameras can pick up the app, but that's what the mother can see. And she can move between left breast and right breast and, see all sorts of analytics that have never existed before because...
I hope they don't get anxious now with the other way of saying, oh God, I'm not doing this right or whatever, because of course it's a high pressure time. But yeah. You already got me excited because you do have your world first. Get me more excited now about size of market. I mean, it must be vast and it's forever because 259 babies a minute.
Yeah. Well, look, we really like to stress that this product, if a mother is breastfeeding naturally and her baby's gaining weight and she's happy, then she doesn't need our product. We have a very specific cohort of customers where the women want to breastfeed, but they're about to stop because of uncertainty. So it's very, you know, it's very important to make that difference.
But you already told me that it does drop down rather dramatically down to 13%.
It really does.
So there's 87% of the world's women with young children could be your market.
Exactly. And what we look for is the women who are stopping for this specific reason, concern regarding low supply. So if you looked at it at a country by country level, you know, it differs. It's about 38% of Irish mothers say that's the reason they stop, but it's 94% of German mothers.
Whoa. And isn't that odd? You know, the cultural differences.
Culturally, it's very, it's hard to, the global average who has stopped for this reason is 60%. But you do have to look at the individual countries to get that nuance, the cultural nuance.
Now, you did say you used to work for Davy and that you have a finance background, so you have done the maths. How big could the market be?
It's billions and billions. If you can imagine, the only competitor to breastfeeding is formula. The formula market alone is 70 billion each year.
It's vast. So, and we own, as in Ireland, owns a lot of that, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yes, yeah.
So you're not going to do them any favours, are you?
Well, actually, in fact, people always said that would be a concern. But up until the 1970s, doctors anecdotally believed that, or doctors believed that about 3% of women had a physiological issue breastfeeding. Nowadays, doctors anecdotally believe that that could be 15 up to 20% of women, particularly in countries like the United States, where they have high levels of obesity and polycystic ovary syndrome and the like. So us being able to establish, you know, how many women actually have a low supply issue, that is where the formula companies could really find our research very interesting. So their formula is life-saving and life-giving in some instances. And it's not to say that women who don't breastfeed, that they have stopped or failed in any way. So there is room for both.
And as you said, you are now a data company. So I'm hearing the data.
Well, if you can imagine, of course, the data that we're recording has never been recorded in the world.
Very interesting.
So the first thing doctors can look to establish is what is a normal milk supply. Every government in the world has kind of a different guideline. And then the academic and medical researchers that we work with globally, they can now, for the first time ever, use our product for their external research that look at all the external factors that impact breastfeeding. For example, you know, does a mother's BMI impact milk supply? If a mother's on diabetes medication, is that impacting her milk supply? If it's your fourth child compared to your first child, is your milk supply different? So these profiles and these patterns that we're, this data that we're seeing, nobody else has ever seen that. And it has huge value in the academic and medical field, as well as this product being able to help mothers who are at home and they're happy breastfeeding, but they just need that extra confidence that it's
validation
working.
Validation or whatever. Yeah, sure. Makes sense. Now, you said something curious a minute ago, which you said that in the next year, early next year, you're going to go into the States, but you are dealing directly to consumer. Does it even make any logical sense to be talking about jurisdictions if you're going directly to consumer off a website? Is that, why would you not say the world? I'm opening up to the world.
Well, again, of course, we want we'll enter the US market, the European market. But again, when you're a company as young as us, it's that production pathway. And to enter a jurisdiction, you have to be able to fulfill the demand for the product. So, and there is huge demand for this product. So I know for other companies, we know because we're inundated with requests from governments, from retailers, from chains, from mothers. So we love doing podcasts around the business and our investment, but until we have a date where we can stand over and supply, categorically confirm at mothers, this is the data that's available. We get inundated whenever they find us or they come across us. And
so don't tell any mothers about this podcast. No,
tell them, but at least we now know because of our clinical validation. But up until last August, we were still in R&D, and now it's a hugely different stage for our company after we'll be 7 years next month,
That's a perfect time to ask a question, which is, I've known you for a while. Mm-hmm. How many times did you think of giving up?
Never.
Did you never?
No.
Then you must have hit brick walls.
We hit loads of brick walls. Yeah. But I guess I have to give a shout out to Enterprise Ireland and the European Commission, because with this for this type of deep tech R&D, obviously, investors are reluctant until you hit these milestones. There's a point where it might never have worked and you're sinking money into R&D. So we would never have achieved our position today and achieved that technical and validation had it not been for the European Commission and the likes of Enterprise Ireland.
So, because you got funding from the Horizon program, isn't that it?
Yeah, so the Horizon 2020 was the grant program at the time.
Which everybody tells me is a minefield, as in a mind bender, trying to extract cash out of it. Is it you have to fill out a Bible or something? Is that true?
It was a Bible. Actually, the application process is the hardest because it's the most competitive grant process in the world, a 1% success rate. So,
and you got it.
And we got it. But so I feel like if I'm ever asked about due diligence from investors, I'm like, here's the Horizon 2020. I don't think there's anything we didn't examine as part of that process. But certainly to get this far now, all of a sudden R&D is finished and now we are building production and we are planning commercialization. So it's been, and then in the midst of it, it didn't feel like a very normal operating environment. We had Brexit, we had the Suez Canal, we had COVID when we were trying to run a clinical trial there was huge challenges, but we always had the support that this is a product that is good for babies, it's good for mothers, it's good for society, it's good for global health population outcomes. So we had, everybody was willing us, whether that be with additional supports or with money, people want this product to work. They understand the value it brings in the clinical and medical sphere, and they understand what it means if we can help women to achieve their own breastfeeding goals, that they supported us the whole way.
Where is your monitor being produced?
So our sensor construction is in Ireland, and at the moment.
And can you do volume in Ireland with that?
We can do volume, like in our sensor construction, yes, yeah. up into a point, but the part, like the tooling and moulding, and that is kind of trade secrets at the moment, that is made in all different parts of the world. And then we will ship it, every single element, to our contract manufacturer, where I won't tell you where they're based.
That's, I mean, that, those are the questions, because I was wondering, somebody's, obviously lots of people would love to nick this.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Does that keep you awake?
Well, for a company of our size, our patent portfolio is extensive and, you know, has never been successfully interrogated. So we really stand over that, I would say.
What does that mean? That can, I mean, obviously people do have access to it, don't they?
Yeah.
But you say that it's not successfully interrogated.
Well, nobody has ever been able to circumvent our patents and how they're written. So that we would see, and our biggest cost to the business outside the salaries of the engineers and scientists is our patent portfolio. So, you know, that really is a core, that's the core investment piece.
Your patent agents must love you. Now, it isn't even finished yet, because you've already told me that to get into the States, you are heading to the States. You're going to live there.
Yes. Yeah, so that's,
I know it sounds exciting, but it's also a bit of a wrench.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited about it. I, you know, depending on what happens between now and next March, but I think I'm going to have to go over and get things organized on the ground. And I'm excited about that, that opportunity. And I just came back from a week there with obviously Enterprise Ireland, and there was a lot of events and functions around St. Patrick's
Day. Tell us who you met.
Well, I met a Nancy Pelosi, a Hillary Clinton, and lots of Irish politicians.
And what did Hillary Clinton think of it?
Well, I only had a brief moment to talk to her, but like that, the Clinton Foundation do a huge amount of work, and we also have research partnerships lined up with the Gates Foundation and the NIH, that being the American government. So what I really wanted to kind of touch base with her was about accessing funding for those academic and medical partnerships via the Clinton Foundation. So yes, we are talking about that.
And I presume Mary Harney has made some introductions for you.
Oh, incredible. I only met Hillary because of her connection with Mary and their work on the Good Friday Agreement in Belfast. So they were all over there celebrating the anniversary, the 25 year anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement. And it was then I had the opportunity to meet with Hillary. So like that, our Irish people and are very, very generous with their network, and they'll try and
there's get digital you. Irish out there as well.
Yes, Fergal, I attended last September with Fergal Kenny and Jean Murphy.
So. They are so helpful.
Yeah, incredible. Yeah,
they
incredible.
Just want to help.
Yeah.
You know, and nothing in it for them. It's a voluntary organization. Mm-hmm. Fantastic bunch of people. I'm also going to introduce you to Connecticut. I'm going to see whether we can get you HQ'd over there, but we'll see. That'll be for another day. So in 7 years' time, you've already been at it for 7 years. Mm. When you look back, I mean, I've known you, as I say, some years. What will you be doing in 7 years' time?
I don't know.
do you have any other ideas about sensors?
Definitely the core team love building cool technology, and they are so good at it in terms of sensor and everything biomedical. Like, they're incredible. Like,
so you have other things in mind, have you?
Look, we're always coming up with ideas.
I'm glad you're on camera.
Yeah, we have loads of ideas, but our sole focus is Coro. Like, we need to get this out onto the market. But yeah, definitely there are other ideas there. And but we only have, this is our only focus at the moment. We have to get this. We have a lot of people who've backed us for a long time, longer than we probably initially would have thought, probably more so because of COVID. So yeah, we need to hit our milestones and get this out into the market.
Now, this is my first recording for a YouTube show or a YouTube platform. So I'm delighted that I can now put people in on camera when I ask them the final question, because so many people didn't or don't read their email. And I keep asking and telling them, who would you hire in a heartbeat is always our final question. So who, Roseanne Longmore, would you hire in a heartbeat? Did you read your email?
I did read it. And I was chatting to the team about it at lunch today, and we were kind of saying, like, we're not really hero worshippers of anybody.
That's okay.
And we have the team in place we want. We're really lucky that people want to work for this product, you know, and they want to work on this technology and in this area. But with my growth, if for the stage of business I'm thinking about now, notwithstanding the last 7 years, I'm sure it would have been a totally different answer. I was kind of thinking of the Collison brothers. When you think about, you know, growing a company, you know, scaling it internationally, globally, successfully, I think they're probably top of mind at the moment.
The lady that you need to get in contact with is the Collison's mammy, because she is one bright lady. She's out of Trinity College. I think she's taught maths or teaches maths there, and very supportive. But I can tell you, you're not the only person who might be knocking on her door. But if Mrs. Collins, say Collison, is listening, I think Roseanne Longmore would like to have a chat. And maybe we can match you off. Roseanne, what a story. But continued success. And I'm so much in admiration of what you're doing and what you have done and how you stuck with it.
Thank you. Well, to the team as well. Like
I've met them. I've met you.
Thank you. And thanks for all your support over the years.
I love it. Yeah. Roseanne Longmore, co-founder of Cardiflow. And who are the other two?
Jamie and Helen.
And their surnames?
Jamie Travers and Dr. Helen Barry.
Oh, Dr. Helen. Yeah. You sounded more like a medical to me than I've ever heard. You're lashing out the old term and medical terminology now. It's changed from Davy days anyway. Yes. Roseanne, thank you so much for joining us on That Great Business Show.
That Great Business Show.
De Facto, the revolutionary shaving oil, changing the face of shaving. For the smoothest shave of your life, just add water. No more lathering up or cleaning up afterward. Just add a few drops of water and you're ready to go. De Facto's blend of all natural oils hydrates and protects your skin. No more razor burns or irritation. A spa treatment for your face. Perfect for all skin types and lasts so much longer than traditional foams or gels. De Facto, a shaving revolution. Just add water. Available from selected pharmacies and from defactoshave.com.
That Great Business Show. Winner, highly commended award. Irish Podcast Awards.
He got the itch and nothing would do but to scratch it. Yes, we have found you another founder who was working away in a large company, Kerry Group in this case, but he was frustrated and he wanted more and he had to set up his own business. T.J. Hegarty, with a first class degree in ag science, founded his maths teaching business called Breakthrough Maths in September 2020. And is currently teaching maths to thousands of school pupils aged between 8 and 18 across Ireland every week. Oh, and by the way, he's quite normal. He hated maths in school, didn't like how the subject was taught, and decided to fix it. And he wants to bring his process to the rest of the world. TJ Hegarty, welcome to That Great Business Show.
What an intro. Thanks, Conal.
Is any of it true or is any of it not true?
That's 100% apt. Yeah, that's it. Like,
tell us about you and maths. You hated it.
Maths in school, the amount of information that was thrown at you and all the topics, I was lost in the midst of trigonometry, calculus, coordinate geometry. I couldn't piece it all together. And I got by just pure brute force almost, but I didn't get top grades in maths, which is always a bit surprising. But I did not like it. I did not like being up front of the class. I did not like the homework. I had no idea what I was actually doing in half the exams, half the bother. I didn't know how I could relate this to that. And I got through school.
Well, welcome to your co-mate in maths, even though I did maths in college. But my good God, I share your pain. I did end up with one teacher who was absolutely magnificent. And he taught it the way it should have been. And I was doing physics with him as well. And he just changed my way I thought of things. Now, you obviously were working away happily in the Kerry Group. You were in sales.
I did the graduate program Kerry. So I did ag science in my undergrad in UCD.
You got a first class honours there as well.
Not exactly a mathematical degree, but I put it together. And my goal out of coming out of college was, being a farmer's son, was always to work in Kerry Group or Glanbia, you know? To be selling cheese to the Chinese, as I call it, right? You'll be shipped off across to Asia and I'd be front of the paper and I could see all the leaders and directors are all from Kerry and all farmer sons and I could see the headline written already, you know? And I got the graduate program, overjoyed by it for myself, and did the first year in the graduate program in sales and enjoyed that. And then I just started to itch. And the Kerry Group graduate program is a super course, very much built on leadership and kind of big topic thinking, which I loved. I could eat that for breakfast. And after that, then the graduate program was coming to an end and I was like, where is this going? You know, I was kind of narrowing myself into my little pod and my little way of work, doing the admin stuff. And I was saying, looking around the office saying, am I the only one here who's just feeling like I'm in a cubbyhole? You know, and I was saying, there's so much more to give and so much more energy to do. And after about two years, I was like, I'm going to have to find a way out of here. Yeah.
And you did. Yeah, were they glad to get rid of you?
I'd say they were in the end. Like, good luck to your man from Cork. He's only an upstart.
And while you were sitting on Kerry's time, you were probably plotting your mathematical course. Get that? See what I did there?
Yeah.
Were you thinking of maths? Or why maths? I mean, you could have been making, I don't know, ag tech. You could have been doing something useful.
That was logical. That's what I was thinking as well at the time. I mean, I set the Breakthrough Maths up in COVID. Sometimes crisis has forced the best out of you. And I'd actually had two or three ideas that had gone on to like little accelerator programs. And I didn't follow through with them. And they were more related to, I think one was HR, one was ag tech. So I actually had the logical startup ideas in my head. But by the time I actually set up Breakthrough Maths, I didn't follow through with those ideas. And I got to September 2020. And to be honest, force of a crisis that I set up. I don't know if you know like Simon Sinek and all the guys and Find Your Why.
Yeah. And a lot of people recommend him as the Heart and Heartbeat. So don't tell me who your Heart and Heartbeat is yet.
No.
But I hope it's not him.
I don't think it is. But he, to be honest, that I was reading all those books for breakfast and I started to get wound up, to be honest with you. Like, Find Your Why, what are my values? What are my 5-year goals? All the strategy. And I had like a wall. I was living in Ace at the time. A wall decorated with where I was going to go, you know, what I was going to do.
Are you one of those guys?
Yeah, because I was just reading the paper and I was reading the startup books and I was like, I want it. Desire is the root of all evil almost. And I actually did drive myself mad, to be honest. I ended up in 2020, September, it was August, and I'd never suffered anything, you know, mental health-wise previous or after since, but in September 2020, I actually had a panic attack.
And okay, talk to me.
It was all driven by myself from my own.
Because you were getting where yourself wound up, was that it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Literally, and I'm not sure if someone's listened to this, they might relate.
Yeah, I hope they do, because that's important.
And I wasn't sure if I was going to speak about this today, but it's kind of the genesis of where it all started from. I had literally driven myself to the point of peak anxiety. Because I was a child who got 600 points at Leaving Cert. I was a child who got the first class honours degree, the eldest son, and no one put pressure on me at home at all, only myself. And you build up the story in your own head. And I guess I was a bit immature for a 21, 22-year-old. And it wasn't happening for me. And I wasn't getting, I suppose, the fame and all the headlines that I wanted at the stage. And it kind of culminated in, I remember going off surfing to Castle Gregory to go surf with my friends. And I was driving past Charleville. And all that week, I'd given blood previously. And the doctor said, the nurse said, you're an elevated heartbeat or you're an arrhythmia slightly. And I took no notice of it. It was normal enough. But then it all kind of started to get very tight. And the chest got very tight. And breathing was hit and miss for like 2 or 3 days. And I was like, I'll go surfing. I'll forget about it, you know. And got into the car and went as far as Charleville. And I was beginning to black out.
Whoa.
Yeah.
This part of the story I had not heard before.
Yeah.
And continue.
And after I popped into the spare shop, I got a bottle of Lucozade and like I think it was
which probably helped. Yeah,
I think I had a Fry's chocolate bar. So shout out Fry's back in the heyday. But I was in the midst of it, gripped by a panic attack, and I was blacking out. And I went to I can laugh now, but the time was pretty scary. It was fight or flight mode, and I drove back to the hospital in Cork on my own. And I rang a friend.
You drove while you were blacking out?
Literally drove back, yeah.
Okay.
Horrendous stuff. You lose all concept of, you know, rationality at the time because, you know, you think you're having a heart attack. You think you're literally about to pop.
And you got to the hospital and then?
I didn't. I actually got the lights in Cork City and first set of traffic lights, and I rang my friend on the phone, and I got to the first lights and I blacked out.
Oh, and then what?
The car was pulled over to the side and rang an ambulance at the time. And that's what happened.
And out of this came a business.
2 weeks later, I set up, we had our first class.
Get away.
Yeah, I'm not joking.
Join the dots between me pulling in at the lights and setting up. Because you had a million ideas.
A million ideas. The grinds thing was roughly in my head muted. I had a rough idea. And
why grinds?
There was an urgent need for it. Cook school was over. But I was teaching a kid. I was teaching a lot of students in Whitechurch and Blarney, my local area, maths. And only a couple of kids in particular with extra additional needs, they started to kick and to grow. I was a salesman. So it wasn't my maths was good. It was more that I was like, come on now, Fiona, you got this. You got it by end. They kick on with just a bit of extra effort. They get it over the line. They get the grades. I remember Fiona actually got one kid in particular who has autism. He, his name is Phil McCarthy, and he was the OG. He was the real inspiration for why I got it going. That same September 2020, the year I had that panic attack, he wasn't meant to go to mainstream school, Fionn. I started teaching from kind of end of first year, second year onwards. He started to flourish and I knew he was coming. And he got his junior cert results. And his mum pulled out the junior cert results and he was up on camera and he goes, I got a B. And I was elected. I remember I got the video. I was inside Kerry and Nace in the office. And I was sitting there doing some other Excel sheet or sending some other email to the supplier who I didn't care about. And I got the video and I just went to the bathroom and I cried.
Ah, oh, lovely. Lovely story.
I was like, that's
and
it.
Well done, Fionn.
Yeah, amazing. He since went on to get he got 400 odd points in his Leaving Cert. He's doing mechanical engineering.
460, I think. 460. It's up on your website, I think.
460, and he's doing mechanical engineering. He's in his entrance final year.
Brilliant.
Next September. So he's incredible. And it's all because of maths. He just, like, we got on so well in maths, and he gone from zero to getting B's in a higher level. And, you know, like, it wasn't that anything special. It was just a practice.
And what are you doing with Breakthrough Maths that others may not have done or are not doing?
First 2 years, it was just weaned on confidence, right? They'll get some charismatic teacher in and they'll get the kids going and drive it on now. We'll have a great time. The kids will all be happy. They'll do a bit of extra work if they like you. That was great. Until you really went to dive into results and you realize that in a class of 7 or 8 people on a Zoom class, you really don't know if the kids are getting better. And it was fundamentally built on good teachers and confidence building. They were great to an extent, but like maybe they're great for the first 10, 15, 20% getting the kids started. But if you're really looking to progress, what's the root cause of why the kid can't get better at maths? And you can use data. And I spotted a gap. Like, why can't you make a live online lesson fully tracked with doing 15, 20 questions a lesson? Track that data, because maths is so standardized. And you can say categorically that this kid is going wrong in maths or in trig or algebra, and you can pinpoint it.
Why did it not exist in my time?
Because I was in the same impression that, like, you know, you think great teachers are like...
No, because there wasn't a Zoom camera.
Someone's zooming in, number one. But no one's doing it at the moment either, you know. Or, like, why isn't anyone looking at live classes as well? But I think
there must be.
I've had a real good look at them. It's hard to find people who are like... We've built our own platform. So we've put hundreds of thousands into building this platform on AWS and Zoom SDK. So it's something that's like all custom built and tailored. And the live lesson is can do that scale. One teacher teaching thousands. And...
That's the key, isn't it?
More engaging than an actual small class or one-to-one. And it's better than a one. So I always thought one-to-one grinds, you know, Johnny comes in and puts the hand on the shoulder, or teacher comes in and puts the hand on the shoulder and helps you. Go on now, Fionn got it. But I couldn't. The problem is, I don't have my hand on Fionn's shoulder when he gets to June when he sits the exam. What that kid all they have is their own brain, their own active recall, what they've learned in long-term memory. And you can fundamentally build that up using data.
Now, I heard you saying there that you have invested... Did you say hundreds of thousands?
Probably would be,
of euro?
Yeah, bootstrapped, yeah.
Where did you find 100,000 euro?
Didn't. We were going 3 years and we've grown, we've scaled.
How many are you now?
How many full-time staff?
How many people,
I think we took 14 away at the weekend. Been 13 or 14 full-time staff. Yeah, four.
That is not bad.
Yeah, four software engineers. So it's a big software play.
And we don't do time stamping on this. So there is a class, it doesn't matter when it happens, but you are going to teach 3,500 kids coming up. Very, very soon.
It's an Easter course, but it's one of the biggest signs of that we're reaching a point where things are going to kick. We've signed, I think, 4,000 people up for an Easter course that we advertised 10 days ago. 4,000 people with a problem advertised with no spend in 10 days. Close to the mark, you know.
But I presume you must be doing something right, which is understandable. Yeah. Or is it desperation? Kids who just, because it's all points driven now,
yeah,
and they just are going to try anything.
Part and part. But look, our sales are up year on year, 35 to 40%. So
put some numbers out there. What are you doing at the moment?
I think it's between 1.3 to 1.5 this year. I'm not sure where it lies in between, but somewhere.
Well,
hang
a second now. 1.3 to 1.5, you will do or have done. You must be very accurate on what you have done.
What was it last year? Oh, 800 odd. 800,
okay.
Yeah.
So you're going 8 to 1.3. And then did you tell me that you're going to go to 5 million next year?
You have to. Like, the goal is to take this international.
But can you go international? Like, the standardization of an Irish maths course, you sure, understood. And you've got a set number of students or whatever, and there's a finite number of them. Mm. You go into the UK, you can get 10 times more people there, but a different maths course. What is the key that you are engaging with these young people with? You said questions during your lessons. Is it is it gamified, or what's the...
Gamified. This is actually, you can't, so it's the 2 years of work where we formulaically found how to teach maths we've every minute of the lesson down to fine art because we standardized it. We got the best teacher there teaching at scale. The kids, it's all built around platforms, so the questions pop up on your screen and you touch the screen, so there's no falling asleep. Every moment's tracked. This is it. Kids fall asleep and the parents are like, I just don't know if he's engaging or not. That won't happen to us.
So because this thing pops up and then I have to answer. Is it?
A, B, C, D, or to fill in the blank. And then we structure the lesson where the first couple of questions are easy and then you're building into it. And we've down to fine art in terms of like every minute of the lesson tracked.
Okay. So you bring it international. So where do you start?
Don't know, but like the idea of going to the States is probably in my mind. Being Irish American roots Irish American kind of crossover might be one. Sometimes I'm worried about England might be highly competitive to head over to. But look,
why do you say now the UK is competitive relative to the States?
Just from experience, talking to one or two people, I don't have full research done, but just one or two people saying it's quite a minefield over there
in the UK.
Yeah.
Okay. And what about getting into European? Is language a problem? Or
we may stay with English speaking for the moment. Look, if you can get into a portion of the States, oh my God. Like this is building up to, maths tuition is growing globally 14% per annum, which is significant. And more and more people are going to need maths to matriculate, to get into the SAT, to their SATs, to get into colleges.
SAT, for those who don't know, is the only way that you're going to get into a US college.
That's it. And you have a lot of people applying from foreign universities, foreign schools, trying to get into American colleges or get into Ireland. So, like, and it's all going more and more digital. Like, it made no sense to me to drive half an hour on the road to Cork City to get a maths grant.
Yeah.
You know, how has that changed since we've returned from COVID? You know, I get now driving to yoga class. You can't really get the same effect in yoga class, but maths is so standardized.
There are yoga classes that you can watch and people are doing it in Malaysia and you watch it in Dublin or whatever you fancy.
You can, 100%, but you can't really get, you don't really like incense candles in the maths class. So like you just got to get in and get out of there. It's pain.
So who has helped you along the way? Because you are with Dogpatch, am I right?
Dogpatch, to an extent, but really local enterprise office in Cork.
Is that the city one?
Cork City.
Tell me what they did for you, because we love them.
Genie Max, they've been amazing.
Tell us about the first encounter. So you go in there and you go in and say, my name is TJ Hegarty, I've got an ag science background and I want to do maths.
There's no going in there. It's all online anyway. So look, the forms are hard to fill out. And you have to do like a first, it's like a trading online voucher, I think. You get $2,500 to help build your website. Yeah. You've got to spend $2,500 to get $2,500. And that's the first step. And then there's other little like tame grant stuff if you're expanding a bit and exporting. They'll help you along the way, but the most important thing then is business expansion grants. So if you're taking on, like my full-time staff, they've given me grants towards taking them on. And that's actually been more than just the money, but the confidence boost saying, right, we have this in the bank and if all goes to all. And it was a major step forward. And then I started to go in person to them and like, they've just been fantastic since. And in terms of that support and the forms along for anyone looking at it, but the support comes and they're very pleasant to deal with.
And mentors, do they give you a mentor?
They do. It's quite a nuanced product in terms of, I haven't probably taken them up on the mentoring side of things. Sometimes I feel like...
You're your own mentor, right?
No, definitely not. I think the parents keep me, I don't get too far, too high on my own, on the horse. But like, look, it's technology. We've got a fantastic CTO and he has he's got experience with Enterprise Ireland himself.
And where did you find him?
In an Enterprise Ireland event.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, what did you do? You saw, what's his name?
On a Zoom, and his name is Jag Gunawardana and I met him on Enterprise Ireland event. His own startup was kind of half failing and he just reached out and did some contractor work and I was like, oh, this guy, very interesting. And we fell in line. He's got three young kids himself, loves maths, just eats and devours it. And he's the guy now in Dogpatch today with our two software engineers and trying to build code out this platform.
And so what's the next step? Besides, say, going to either the US or the UK, what else can you do with it? You're one of those people who thinks with different ideas and you probably have a few other ideas up your sleeve, have you?
Most important thing is to stop thinking and nail Ireland. I think I've had so many ideas and stuff to do with it, but most important thing is focus regimentally on September next on getting 3,000 or 4,000 students every single week in this class, scaling to 3 or 5 million revenue in Ireland, which is so possible.
Will 4,000 students do that for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, between 4
and 5. There are, how many students?
6,000 in a given year.
Yeah. So you could actually go way above that.
Should. But that kind of traction is significant.
Because your courses are €146, is that
150 euro at the moment, but we're going to drop the price point we're going to give two different price points. We suddenly have control. We have our own platform, we can customize it. So we'll have two different price points and give people options.
Will the teachers love you?
I remember I set this up originally and I was in Rochestown and I met, I wanted to name the name, but I got it. He was on the Maths Association or whatever, and he was like, look, you're not a teacher, this won't work. And I was like, you know, 3 years later, like, it's not that there was anything I get chipped my shoulder, but like, it's the fact that like, you don't need, you know, like, you just have to want, you have to understand, my customer is the child sitting there who is stressed, anxious and worried, and I was in his shoes, you know, like, yeah. So there's no better person to understand that need and to try and make it, because there are nuanced factors here. It's not just getting the grade. You've got to make it easy to log into. You've got to make it simple, short, and these are
how things. Short is short?
But you're going to try, and we're going to have to try and bite-size this a lot more. So maybe they do a half an hour lesson and they get, I don't know, 2 study videos, like TikTok style almost, to follow up on. That's far more valuable than just an hour and a half long lesson.
Is that what it used to be?
That's what, that's an hour long lesson.
When you started now.
Yeah, an hour long lesson, yeah. And you don't, and that's not, and pedagogically, if you did it just
I'll have to look up that word.
It's just from a teaching point of view, going into your brain, getting that stuff into your brain. If you did only 5 minutes on the top, if you did half an hour lesson of 5 minutes, I mean, that's worth inaccessibly more than just an hour long lesson.
Now, back to other ideas, because I can see that you're teeming with them. If you can't do them at the moment because you're tied to doing what you're doing, give us some ideas, because we say our strapline is tips, insights and opportunities on every episode. Yeah. Give us some more tips on people, on businesses that you would look at if you had the time, and give some ideas to people.
Like, you'd have to look at, like, in Ireland, I have an ag background. So ag tech and environmental tech, I suppose, is one thing I'd look at, like Norman Crowley below in West Cork and what he's doing for, you know, saving businesses money. Like environmental stuff, if we could get it right, now whether it's carbon capture or something, and look at like Tyndall and UCC and stuff and what they're trying to build out and commercialise.
And Norman Crowley on the podcast way back, yeah.
Yeah, that stuff is win-wins. Yeah, like you're saving money for the business and you're saving money for the environment. So to me, that, I remember listening to Norman about, listen to that, how he's making, saving money for one, you know, everything they invest, they get it back. And to me, that makes so much sense. And look at I heard Simon Coveney talking last week at an event in Cork about decarbonisation and how cement, 40% of all emissions from the construction industry from cement.
Yep.
I was like, that's an opportunity there.
It's a filthy product.
Yeah.
And there is a product, an Irish-made product, Ecosem, that can replace it. And I also had Ecosem on the podcast. So people should listen back to that.
Yeah.
Susan from Ecosem. So what's next? You don't need any money.
No. No.
Are you going to go all the way with no money?
3 and 5, yeah. And then we'll try and take on venture capital, hopefully. We'll be open to venture capital funding in the next year. If we can get to that level. Look, the reality is, this probably won't scale to 3 or 5. Like, I have to take a prudent approach. Like, startups are destined to fail in some respects. So oftentimes I come in here like I'm so confident that we're going to nail it, but oh my God, reality is so much more different on the ground. You know what I mean? So I just...
But you've got that kind of madness in your eyes that you know it's going to say, you know it's going to succeed. You're going to make it succeed, aren't you?
A bit of faith, I guess. Yeah, yeah, 100%. Yeah, yeah.
So who would you hire in a heartbeat?
I would hire a person with Cork grandparents, I think. Michael O'Leary is what I'd hire.
And why Michael?
I like him from a business point of view. I'm not sure I like him from a personal point of view.
No, it's the opposite, actually. He's actually very nice.
Is he?
He's a lovely guy because he's making it up. He is the great showman of the world.
Right. Yeah, I didn't
know
that.
And he gave out yards about the Boeing senior management. And today, they have been given the door. So he knows what he's talking about as well.
Yeah. What he did in terms of Ryanair, I mean...
It's unbelievable, yeah.
Oh, like I know it's like stating the obvious what he's done for Ryanair, but like...
But somebody did it, and like somebody had to do it, and he did it. Like, it's exceptional. Yeah.
If it wasn't Michael, would they have done it? Would they have scaled to the heights they have?
That's a good question. I'm sure you, who knows?
And who knows?
And what that has meant for our little island and for business on our little island is exceptional. You are way too young when other airlines used to take out a mortgage to get over to London.
What I like about Ryanair, in fact, is they hire cabin crew upwards. And so you don't see them hiring that often. It's all internal stuff. Like, they hire cabin crew and bring them up. That's very interesting. I really like that. And just that alone, like, it's the culture that he's developed. Like, it's
so have you hired your new CEO already?
No, but we haven't. But everyone on our team has the opportunity to scale and to rise up from tutoring upwards. In fact, those full-time staff, they're all previous tutors.
Is there anything that we call them Team GBS? We also call them our lovely listeners. Anything that they could do for you? Because we love putting an arm around startups and saying, come on, we can bring you across the line.
Like, spread the word to an extent, and it sounds cliche to say, but like, I'm it frustrates me that we're still haven't scaled to 3 and 5 million at this point. We're the only ones looking just at maths regimentally and doing it to fine art. And maybe it costs a barrier, maybe just getting the word out there is a barrier, but I'm still surprised why people just, like, why we wouldn't have 30,000 people signed up to free 3 days of the course tomorrow. You know?
Well, it makes sense as well. They have 2 months left.
Yeah.
To get their maths. I probably started studying about this time. Yeah. Or my leaving.
That's it. We're up against like a very much like reputationally based industries. So like, you know, schools in likes of Leeson Street and in Patrick Hill and Cork, these have big reputations and they know that. It's very traditional. To me, what we're trying to do is not, we're not trying to reinvent the wheel, but we're saving time, we're going to make it more effective and we're only doing maths. Like the best are on the maths. That's it.
The company's called Breakthrough Maths. The man behind it, the founder, TJ Hegarty. TJ, will you please come back to us when you're heading either to the UK or stateside? And if you want to head stateside, Connecticut wants you to base yourself there. And we will make introductions to make sure that you do. TJ, thank you so much for joining us. Sorry, what does TJ stand for? Thomas Joseph,
yeah.
I just guessed that.
Thomas J. Hagerty.
Hamash Gravmina Margaret, thank you so much for joining us on That Great Business Show.
Gravmina Margaret, come on.
De Facto, the revolutionary shaving oil, changing the face of shaving. For the smoothest shave of your life, just add water. No more lathering up or cleaning up afterward. Just add a few drops of water and you're ready to go. De Facto's blend of all natural oils hydrates and protects your skin. No more razor burns or irritation. A spa treatment for your face. Perfect for all skin types and lasts so much longer than traditional foams or gels. De Facto, a shaving revolution. Just add water. Available from selected pharmacies and from defactoshave.com.
It's all go, let Chrissy Gnow on thatgreatbusinessshow.com.
That Great Business Show.
And that's it for episode 185 of That Great Business Show. Great business insights and inspiration, as always. Regular listeners know that we're true believers in business mentors. So make sure to check out mentorswork.ie to unlock the full potential of your business. It's a fully government-funded mentoring program designed to fuel the growth of your business, no matter what the sector or what the size. And sign up for our email updates and we will send you your own personal copy of the podcast by signing up at thatgreatbusinessshow.com. Do share us, do like us and give us 5-star reviews, please. It all helps. Advertise with us on That Great Business Show to engage with our incredible audience of entrepreneurs, businesses, investors and generally nice people. We record at the Dublin South Podcast Studios where today's studio engineers are, because we had two, Alison O'Dwyer and Lee Brennan. A huge thanks as always for their professionalism. And later the dynamic duo of studio manager Peter Rice and post-production engineer Neil Horner ensure we remain the world's best-sounding business podcast. So for me, Conal O'Moran, buíochas to you all, agus slán tamall.